You're listening to OEA Grow, a member-led production of the Oregon Education Association and a proud member of the Labor Radio Podcast Network. OEA Grow is by members, for members. In Season 12, educators discuss the rural school experience with Tony Myers.
Welcome to another episode of Rural Educators in OEA Grow. We have Jessica Jansen with us today. Welcome, Jessica.
Thanks so much for having me.
Can you introduce yourself and tell us what your position is, please?
Absolutely. My name is Jessica Jansen, and I'm currently the director of Oregon Agriculture in the Classroom Foundation. And I guess you didn't ask me a little bit about Ag in the Classroom, but I'll just dive right into that if that's good. So Oregon Agriculture in the Classroom is a nonprofit organization. We're actually housed at Oregon State University, but we are a separate organization that exists to provide educators with resources to help Oregon students grow in their knowledge of agriculture, the environment, and natural resources.
Okay, so how does a listener utilize your program?
Yeah, so teachers can, from all across the state in any type of educational environment, can have access to our resources. The biggest way that teachers can get on and find out about us is on our website, OregonAITC.org. And really the main programs that we have are our lending library. It's probably our most popular program. And that's a resource that's available throughout the year that teachers can go onto our website and check out resources. Our most popular part of the lending library is our kits. So those are supplies that you as a teacher use to do the lesson with your students, and none of it needs to come back. But we do have a component of our lending library that is a mail order library system as well. So that's books and resources that do need to be shipped back to us after they've been used in the classroom. So that's the main kind of program that we have and teachers get to utilize from across the state. And of course, that's all available at no cost to Oregon educators as well.
How is your program funded since it's no cost for educators?
Great question. Yeah, I mentioned we're a nonprofit organization. So we are entirely supported by the agricultural community and also lots of grants and private donations. So our major group of funders is farmer groups. So in Oregon, there are commodity commissions, and several of the commodity commissions in our state support our program. And that's farmers that put money in to a communal fund for whatever they're growing or raising. And a portion of that goes to help support programs like ours, as well as many other research and education initiatives to help promote that agricultural commodity.
Coming from a farming background, I love that the farmers see the importance of educating our kids. I myself have taken advantage of a lot of your programs. And so it's quality information that these kids are getting. And the fact that it's free to educators makes it actually accessible to everybody. So I love that component of it.
We really try to make everything really easy to use so that you as an educator, when you receive our items, can open it up and make it it's user-friendly in that it's all right there. Most of what you need, there's a few things every now and then you'll need to add, things that aren't shippable, but most of them are really easy to find items. And that's our goal, is to make this easy for you as an educator to get it in the mail and open it up and be able to implement it, hopefully in that same week if you needed to. And we ship things pretty quickly across the state. And again, just having that accessibility and availability to teachers is a really big priority of ours.
So can you describe how the Ag in the Classroom program supports our rural educators? We may not have access to all of this other stuff.
That's true, yes. And definitely, I think that's a huge priority of our program, is making sure that we are available to all Oregon teachers. One of the big ways that we do that now is by having our educator workshops available virtually. I know that was a big barrier to us before, and that was something that opened up because of the pandemic in modalities that we hadn't done before. So educators from across the state can join our workshops. They're typically about an hour to an hour and a half after the school day. And we ship the items that are related to the workshop. So those are subject-specific workshops. Generally, we bring in a subject matter expert on the topic. So for example, in January, we're hosting a microgreens workshop, and that is a workshop where all the educators will receive little kits in order to grow microgreens in their classroom. So as an educator, you'll sign up for that, you'll attend the workshop, and then after attending the workshop, you'll get that kit mailed to you. So again, just trying to make that accessible to educators that might be in areas that can't attend a physical in-person workshop with ease, and making that doable. And then the other part of our system really relies either both on the website and having items that are available for download, or it is mailing. And thankfully, the U.S. Postal Service is very statewide, and we can make sure that we get that. There might be some delays for rural educators occasionally for things like that, but we try to get it in the mail as fast as we can on our end. And then another big resource that is available, and I think a really great resource for rural students and teachers, is our virtual field trips. And this is a way for students to see operations of agriculture across the state. In December, we hosted a big Christmas tree field trip. And I think that's one of those things that rural, Eastern Oregon students might not ever see a Christmas tree farm, because that's something that's very Western Oregon specific. And so understanding that that's where Christmas trees grow, something that their family may have in their home, kind of puts that in full circle and perspective. And they can see that in a different way than they may previously have. And it wouldn't have been accessible to attend that as a field trip in person, for example.
So I have to tell you, my kids watched the Christmas tree one a couple years ago. I have my students for 4 years, and so I have to cycle through. They learned so much. They still pop off with information from that, especially as we're decorating our school Christmas tree and stuff. They will tell me random facts from the Christmas tree video. It's so impactful for the kids. Like you said, they never see it.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I'll have to share that with our tree grower. He's been doing it for a number of years, and he absolutely loves doing it and does such a great job for the students. And he loves hearing that. I'll definitely share that with him.
It's a lot of fun. And then the Zoom meetings, I learned how to make mozzarella cheese in December. And I did it on a Zoom, sitting at my kids' volleyball practice, watching the video. So in January, my class is going to make mozzarella cheese. Awesome. The kit was here like the next week. I was surprised how quick it came out, actually. But for an hour to sit there and watch how to make mozzarella cheese, she brought it down to a level that, okay, I can do this with my class. It's going to be easy for me. And the kit shows up. Like, I love the accessibility of that.
That's awesome. Yeah, and that's a great example of kind of our sponsorship model. So that was sponsored by the Oregon Dairy Nutrition Council, which is supported by Oregon Dairy Farm Families. So it's a wonderful opportunity. I'm so glad you benefited from that. And that's an example too of a kit that now they're out of stock. Unfortunately, they were really popular, but that was an example of a kit that you could just order as well. So if in succeeding years, if you want to do it again, you can just order the kit rather than having to attend the workshop necessarily. You always can sign up, but we do limit spots on some of our workshops just to allow for better interaction with participants as well.
Can you tell us a little bit about the monthly subscription box that comes out? I've done that for a couple of years, and I've really enjoyed that one as well.
Yes. So I mentioned we have kits on our website. So every month we have a featured kit, and then certain teachers, we have applications available in late August to early September for we call it a subscription box. And that's basically just a monthly kit that your class will receive. It has an agriculturally themed every month. And those are the same as the featured kits. So we've done that to, again, make it more available, because there's only 20 teachers that participate in the subscription box program that are getting that every month. So it is highly selective. And we do reserve that for teachers that are new to our network. So if you're hearing this podcast and you're saying, never heard of your program, that's definitely a resource to keep in mind. It's a great way to just be introduced to the different types of lessons and the different types of activities that we offer. So that application, like I said, becomes available in August, and then every month your class will receive a box. We actually also have books available for the next 2 years in that. So you'll receive an agricultural literacy book that's tied with the lesson or theme of the box. And then you can do that with your class throughout the month. And then hopefully you do them every month, and the students are obviously really going to look forward to it. I mean, you've done it before, Tony. You can probably speak to more of that than I can. Our goal is to make them really engaging and exciting for the students.
My kids love it. They know when I pull out that box that it's going to be engaging. It's going to be hands-on. There's going to be discussion. They love it. Sometimes there's videos that go along with it. There's books. And it meets any level of student. I was really sad I moved grade levels. And so I signed up again to do it with my new grade level and I didn't get in the program. It was really sad for me. But it's so engaging like that. So I just go on the website now and I pull off the ones I'm like, hey, I need to do this. I think I'm doing something with bees here in a couple of weeks as well. So there's so much on there. And signing up on the website gets you those emails sent to you like, hey, this is new. But you guys don't send a lot of junk emails, so I appreciate that.
Oh, thank you for mentioning that. We're very mindful of what we send out to teachers, and we know that your inboxes are full. So our main email, and that is the best way to just kind of get that reminder of what we're offering, is always sent out on the first Monday of the month. And that is our main one that we do. Unless you've subscribed to additional opportunities, we're very mindful about not sending out additional emails for that reason. So if you are saying, man, I haven't seen anything from Ag in the Classroom in a while, it's probably because it isn't the first Monday of the month. It's later in the month, and you'll see it on that first Monday. And I will say on the on the featured kits, those go fast. So knowing that or marking that out of your calendar, if that's something that you're interested in, we do have limited inventory of those. It's one of those programs that we wrote a grant for, and we were so excited to get it. And the demand has been more than we anticipated, which is a great challenge for us as an organization having these resources. But it's also a big bummer for teachers that don't get right on there and get them checked out. But we are working to expand that in future school years as well so that we can hopefully reach more teachers and we don't get those sad emails that say we wanted to do this, but we didn't have it in stock. So our goal is to obviously reach as many students and teachers as we can.
So who puts together your boxes for you?
Great question. So we have a very small but mighty team. And one of our, we have a college student intern that's her entire job is putting together the kits every month. So she starts, obviously, she's always working about a month ahead and she's putting those together and shipping them out. So there's always a huge work in progress in our office of the boxes being put together and assembled and counted out for the different students. In this case of the subscription boxes, those are number specific. So those are, you know, counted out by the number of students that you have in your classroom. Many of our kits are kind of classroom style kits. So we do either 25 or 30, depending on which grade band it's for. But you can always request more. If you have more students than that, we always accommodate that. That just helps us be a little bit more efficient on our building end. And so it's our college student interns. We have two college student interns in our office that's all they do is do subscription boxes and then also fulfilling the library orders on a regular basis. They work really hard and it's always fun for them to hear from teachers like yourself that just share about how it impacts them because we're very much in a bubble. We don't necessarily see the students engaging with the kits. So that's great to hear as well. And I'll definitely be passing that on.
Well, when I was asked to do this podcast and they were talking about resources for teachers, you guys were the first ones I thought of because of how impactful, even though I do live rural and ranching community, the kids know agriculture, there's still so much. Like there was a cranberry one. They didn't know about cranberries. And so to still learn more about what they're immersed in was so impactful for my students. So I love your program. Like I'm very passionate about supporting it. And I talk to a lot of new teachers about it. Like sign up for this, get their emails. They can help you. So I love it.
Thank you for sharing that. I think that's a really important thing to remember. We get that feedback a lot. Like, oh, is this program just for rural students and rural educators? And while it certainly is available to them, it's not just for rural educators. I think that, we really focus statewide in our resources. And like you mentioned, just because a student is immersed in agriculture doesn't mean that they are agriculturally literate on multiple themes in agriculture. They might know what is around in their community or what their family is involved in. But agriculture is incredibly diverse. And that's something that in Oregon, we have to celebrate. We have 220 different agricultural commodities that we grow here. So you can talk about a different one every day of the school year and not cover them all. So I think that we, like I said, just have a lot to celebrate and expose our students to. And that leads to those conversations about what jobs exist and what careers exist. And also just impacts us as consumers. We're eating and consuming agricultural products every day. So it gives that students that applicability that we strive so much to do as educators of how does this matter? Why does this matter to me? Agriculture, it lends itself really well to that discussion.
I love that. Is there anything you haven't shared yet that you want listeners to know?
I don't think so. We love hearing from new educators. And I think something that is a really big thing too, if you are engaged with our program and ever have any questions, feel free to reach out to us directly. That's what we're here for, is providing you as educators with resources. So if there's a specific theme or topic that you're interested in exploring, please reach out, because that's something that we have. Our website, we often kind of joke, is almost like a black hole. There's so much information on there, and there's so many resources on there that sometimes it's helpful just to be directed to a specific spot. But I also encourage educators to attend a workshop. If there's a theme like the cheese or the microgreens, or we're doing aquaponics to come this school year and bees, if there's a theme that's interesting to you, that's a great way to learn a little bit more about our program, dip your toe in, get a little bit of exposure. And we always do a little bit of a commercial, so to speak, of our other programs and activities in those workshops as well. So kind of just having that opportunity to sit down and look at the website, I think, is oftentimes what we need, is busy people that are in our element and trying to, you know, kind of just work on the next day. But I encourage teachers to explore it, because I think there's a lot here to offer. I will mention, kind of grade level wise, we get that question a lot of, like, what grade level is it really geared towards? We're very strong in elementary education for sure. But our featured kits this year, for example, have grade bands for K-2, 3-4, and then middle school and high school. I'm sorry, 3-5. Our grade bands this year are K-2, 3-5, and then middle school, high school. So there's resources available for those teachers that are teaching some of those older students as well, which is something that we're trying to consistently grow in our program as well for middle school and high school students.
So I know one time the virtual field trips were available to watch past that field trip date. Are they still available on the website?
Yes. Every virtual field trip that we've done, there's a few exceptions for some technology glitches, but most of them are all on our website. And that's, like you said, a great way to explore Oregon. We've got cranberries and bees and dairy farms and mushrooms. That was a really interesting one. Sheep, cattle, we've done a lot. So we have a lot of those that are all just on our website, ready to watch. They're just on our YouTube, if that's easier, more accessible. We have a YouTube channel as well that has a playlist of all of them. You can explore a lot of Oregon that way.
Let's be honest. Sometimes we need just a few moments. A project didn't go right and you need something, or a sub plan. This would be something great to throw in there, because it is so engaging for the kids. You're not going to have those behavior problems, because they're going to be learning and engaged with that. So
that's perfect. I love to hear that. Yeah. And I think that that's something that we didn't anticipate when we started the virtual field trip program, is those recordings being so popular. And some of them have, you know, we've got lots of views on them and we say, oh, this is really important. So yeah, they're just the recorded version. They're nothing fancy by any means, but I also think that creates that kind of authenticity, and students recognize that. Our students are in such a digital world that they realize that this isn't edited and have lots of post-production. It's really real. And these farmers and ranchers and agricultural producers are talking about their farms and operations and businesses in a very genuine way. And I think that doesn't, I think the students do pick up on that from a very young age, and can tell that these people are really passionate Oregonians, and they care, and they're taking the time out of their busy schedules to talk to students, and they all love it. It's never a challenge for us to get these people to, maybe there's a little camera shyness occasionally, but as far as the sharing goes with Oregon students, they're always really eager to do so. So it's been a really neat vehicle for us to serve as a way for us to share agriculture story a little bit with classrooms in Oregon.
And I've noticed watching them with my kids, the questions that the students ask are often the questions that my students have. And so they see another kid asking that, and so they feel smart, like, oh, I had that same question. And that engagement they see between the students and the presenter, it's always fun.
It's one of my favorite parts. And we usually really encourage the presenters to leave lots of time for those questions, because it is student-driven in that way, that they're getting their questions answered. And like you said, it's oftentimes when we are going through the questions as moderators, lots of the same kinds of questions. And that's like you said, encouraging for the students to see, and also just, hey, these are things that we want to focus on. These are things that the students care about and want to see. So.
Well, I would encourage educators to look at this website. Remember, everything is free. And in this time where we are spending so much money in our classrooms, to have a free, amazing, quality resource like this can really change your curriculum for your students. So Jessica, I want to thank you and your group for all the work they do. I know it's benefited my students at my school a lot, and I appreciate you. So I'm hoping some other educators can jump on there and get some other amazing resources.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me the time to share today. And yeah, visit our website at OregonAITC.org, and would love to connect with you and provide resources for your classroom.
For more OEA professional learning opportunities, visit grow.oregoned.org.